This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All of a sudden, someone is calling. The call is being made. وَاسْتَمِعْ يَوْمَ يُنَادِي الْمُنَادِي مِنْ مَكَانٍ قَرِيبٍ. Someone is very close. It's calling. What is he saying? هَلُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ. Come. It's time to meet your Lord. So everybody is resurrected. I want everybody to come. And are they going to be coming? What land are they going to go to? Where's the land? Who knows? Ash-Sham. Sham, which is known to be Syria today, Urdun, Palestine, and Lebanon, that is known to be Ash-Sham area. The Prophet said, Ash-Shamu ardul mahshari wal manshar. So people, are they going to listen or not? Well, you had all the free will in the world in this dunya. But in Akhirah, no free will for the people. Allah says, يَوْمَ إِذٍ يَتَّبِعُونَ الدَّاعِ. Everyone will listen and everyone will have to follow the caller. So the caller will lead the people. Come here. This will be the land of gathering. Now, how will people get there? There are three different methods or vehicles to get to the land of gathering. Group number one, they walk there. Whatever part of earth they died, they will walk to the land of gathering. That sounds maybe difficult, right? To walk that long distance, the situation, God knows how many hours or days, because things are calculated differently. A day to Allah equals how many years to us? أَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. One day to Allah is equal to 1,000 years of our calculations. Other people, may Allah make us of group two. Now, if you said Ameen, that means you trust me, Allah. I don't know who group two is, but since you say, may Allah make us, I'm trust you. May Allah make us like group two. They're the ones that are given a ride. They will be given a ride to the land of gathering. These people may have never had a driver's license. These people may have never in their lives owned a car. All their life was either a lease or a rental or used after 120,000 miles. That's when they buy it. Maybe there are people that had a bus pass, but there are people who feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today they get the ride, the bling bling. Everybody wanted in the dunya, they get it in the akhirah, where it matters the most. So who drives them? The angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, وَصِنْفًا رُكْبَانًا. They come being given a ride. Allahu Akbar. May Allah allow us to realize the true net worth that matters to Allah. Who has the highest net worth in the world these days? According to any online world. Who has the highest net worth, you know? Elon Musk, the net worth is about $257 billion. But what is the actual net worth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah ta'ala a'lam. What does Allah look like? What does Allah look at? Taqwa, right? Look what the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُنظُرُ. Allah does not look at suwarikum. Allah does not look at your physical features and your money. Rather, Allah looks at your hearts and the manifestation of what's in your heart. So Allah does not look at the thing we look most at. The thing we care the most at, that hair. Oh, subhanAllah, put gel and you do it like 10 minutes, whatever the case is, right? Oh, I got the pimple here. I'm not showing up to the halaqah tonight. Right? SubhanAllah. You take it serious. And then even sometimes we fix the hijab in a way. The brothers do something here and there. We're so focused. There's nothing wrong with that. Relax, as long as we don't transgress. But Allah does not even look at that. Biceps, chest, triceps, all that stuff, that whatever face that you do in the selfie, or the lonely, as they say it. Right? All that doesn't matter to Allah Jalla Jalalu. But how is your heart? That's the value. May Allah make us have a beautiful heart. The third, but not third, the least and least, are people who walk on their face. وَصِنْفًا عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ. The Sahaba, they heard that, and this is one of the, not always happening, the Sahaba kind of asked the Prophet a question. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can يُحْشَرُ الْكَافِرَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَمَةِ. How can someone is walking on his face? Look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's simplicity. Wallahi, look at his beautiful answer. Ready? أَلَيْسَ الَّذِي أَمْشَاهُ عَلَى الرَّجْلَيْنِ فِي الدُّنْيَا قَادِرْ عَلَى أَنْ يُمْشِيَهُ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The one who made him able to walk on his feet in the worldly life, is he not also able to make them walk on their face in the afterlife? Right? You think you walk with your legs because you can? No, Allah bestowed that blessing upon you. So these people will go on their faces. You know who's the sub-narrator? You know when someone narrates the hadith? His name is Qatada. So when Qatada said the hadith, he said, بَلَا وَعِزَّةِ رَبِّنَا. Yes, by Allah's might he can. And I will do what Qatada said, and wallahi, Allah can make people walk on their face. And these people, what is the main reasons they were humiliated like that? Why were they on their faces like that, walking on their faces, their legs up like that, in a very embarrassing way, and God knows the pain as they walk and what happens to the forehead and the nose. What's some of the reasons? What do you guys think? Go ahead, try. What is it? They walk too proudly in the dunya. There's truth to that. Try.
Gossiping.
gossiping, fantastic. Fantastic, haram stuff, fantastic. Go ahead. Look down upon people. There's truth to that. So basically, Allah says in the Quran, what, many reasons, of course, and all of that is true. All of it is true. But just to share with you one, يَقُولُونَ إِنَّا لَمَرْدُودُونَ فِي الْحَافِرَةِ. They're the people that said, are we really going to be resurrected, coming down from the coming up from the ground? So now your face is on the ground. Are we really going to be resurrected? The earth will open up and we will come. إِذَا كُنَّا عِظَامًا نَخِرًا. After our bones are reduced to ashes or decayed bones. قَالُوا تِلْكَ إِذَا كَرَّةٌ خَاسِرًا. Look at the mockery. And if there was day of judgment, bro, I'm in trouble. Do people say that? If there is hell, I agree with you, bro. I'm in trouble. Look at the sarcasm, subhanAllah. And they are R-O-F-L, huh? You know what's R-O-F-L? Rolling on the floor laughing. Right? About Yawm al-Qiyamah and stuff like that. Then they say, Allah says, فَإِنَّمَا هِيَ زَجْرَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. Allah says, it's one mighty blast. فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ. And they're all going to get up. وَيَسْهَرُوا فِي سَهْرَةٍ. There's a sahra happening, but يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. May Allah protect us. فَإِذَا هُمْ بِالسَّاهِرَةِ. And the arrogant, subhanAllah, one time, Al-As ibn Wa'il, a very evil leader in Quraysh, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and looked what he did. He had some bones in his hand. Bones. A bone of any living being. Okay? Whether it was chicken or a human being bone, but it was actual bone. So he grabbed the bone and he did this. Then he turned it into a crumbs. So he says, فَفَتَّهُ بِيَدِهِ. Okay? Then he says, أَيُحْيِ اللَّهُ هَذَا بَعْدَمَا أَرَىٰ. Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah will bring this back to life after you see what I did to the bone, crushed into ashes, crumbs. The arrogant question, ready for the answer? To Al-As. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Naam. He could have stopped. He said, yes, Allah will resurrect these crumbs of bones. But look what he says, Naam. Yumituk. You, Allah will cause you to die. Thumma yuhik. Then Allah will resurrect you. Thumma yudkhiluka nara jahannam. Then Allah will take you to hell. Wow. You know what's interesting? This man had a big shot towards shaking, quote unquote, the faith of the believers. How? If he became Muslim. And Al-As ibn Wa'il lived all his life. He could have just faked being a Muslim. They say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, because they go to Jannah. But he did not say it and he died as a kafir. Don't challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah revealed verses. Ready? Allah says, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانِ. Does the insan not see that we created them from a sperm drop? فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. Your beginning is a sperm and an egg together. And now you're an arrogant debater? You remember where you came from and now no one can talk to you? Remember your beginning? Then Allah says, وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسْيَ خَلْقًا. Allah says he's giving us an example and he forgot his own example, his own life. قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ. Allah's quoting Al-As ibn Wa'il. He says, who will bring back these bones after they are decayed? Allah says, يَا مُحَمَّدْ, tell them, يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. The one who will bring the bones back to life is the one who created the bones to begin with. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٍ. Allah is very knowledgeable of his creation. What's more difficult? For Allah to make a human being out of crumbs of bones? Or Allah to make a human being out of nothing? What's harder?
Nothing.
Out of nothing. Nice and simple. So they are so confused. Like, how would Allah make us some bones? Ya akhi, ask the bigger question. How did Allah make the bones out of nothing? SubhanAllah, nice and simple, beautiful deen. So they all go towards and they follow who? Who are they following? Who are they following? Huh? The caller, remember the caller? Come, meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who's with them? Humans and everything, but who else? وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ. Allah resurrects the animals. Bulls, cows, sheep. وَحَشَرْنَاهُمْ فَلَمْ نُغَادِرْ مِنْهُمْ. We gathered all of them, leaving no one behind. But the question people say, you know what, akhi, this is the unseen and we didn't see any of that stuff and believing in it. I'm hopeful. Everyone here believes in it. I'm very hopeful. And you're not like that one guy who commented on that YouTube video that was uploaded and he says, but don't read the whole comment because at the end I think there's a bad word. Okay? Then he said something along the lines of, all what you're saying is something that was never seen before. So you're saying this will happen, and no one saw what's going to happen. So he said, kada kada, about the stuff that is being said. But do you know that even the atheists believe in the unseen? Even the ones that hate Allah, they believe in the unseen. You agree or not? Maybe I'm making it sound like theory. So, for example, someone has a flight to take. What day is that flight? Let's say the flight is on February 2nd. So he goes online to the unseen website, delta.com. And he goes February 2nd, he books the flight from Detroit to Washington, D.C. And then he tells his friend, I'm going to go to Washington, D.C. He's completely confident, I'm going to Washington, D.C. on February 2nd. Is it that not believing the unseen? Then he even calls the dentist, like, oh, I'm so sorry, dentist so-and-so. You know what? I have an appointment on February 5th, but I forgot to tell you that I will be in D.C. All that actions is based on his belief in the unseen. Why? Because Delta has a 98% accuracy in meeting the flight departure time. So due to the level of confidence in Delta or whatever airline, this will happen. Have you ever seen someone as they were packing, like, you know what, I'm not going to pack everything because I might come back home. My flight may get canceled. That happens when your trust starts to what? Gets weakened. Like those that may be traveling to DC tomorrow, for example. I got a message from Delta. Your flight might be impacted by the weather, right? Whatever the case is. But you see, they believe in the unseen? I'll give you one study, one example. September 2018. September 2018, people living on the southern east coast of the United States were notified. What were they notified about? By their local news station and the NSW. Who's the NSW? National Service Weather. So it's a government branch. Okay, what was it? That there's a severe hurricane coming their way named Florence. If you heard that hurricane before. Hurricane Florence. They were notified that it would cause massive destruction. Many people believed in the unseen. Many people, you know how many people left? According to CNN, and I quote you word for word, CNN, more than 1 million people on the southern east coast of the United States faced mandatory evacuation orders. As Hurricane Florence neared Category 5, they left their homes without a single drop of water falling. Because it's NSW, it's the government. Yeah, more. As a result of the people's belief in the unseen and this hurricane, it was announced that the state government offices, schools, medical facilities will be closed in 26 counties. Is that not belief in the unseen? But why did they believe in the unseen? The credentials of the NSW, the scientists, the geologists, all these people. What's your confidence when Allah Jalla Jalaluhu tells you this will happen? What is your confidence when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells you this and that will happen? Should we not prepare better than their preparation? So this is the aspect of the belief in the unseen. So now the people arrive in the land of gathering. And people are very concerned. People are very devastated. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will tell us a few things. Ready, inshallah? So four things and I'm done. Sounds good? Four things and I'm done. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause earth not to have any symbols, any matters on it. What does it mean? No mountains, no trees, no rocks. It will be a flat land. Look what Allah says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The earth will be bayda. It will be a leveled ground. Afra. What's afra? Has soil on it. Its color is a mix of white and red. كَقُرْصَةٍ نَقِي لَيْسَ فِيهَا عَلَمٌ لِأَحَدٍ. This land, soil, looks like a loaf of bread. You see the bread? It's not all white, there's some like dots here and there. Very pure, free from any dirt and contamination. So very clean earth, clean from any sins. This is a new world. This is a different earth. Allah changes earth. Ready? Four things. Generally, when you sleep for a long time, you wake up what? Hungry. Okay. The believers, they come, and this earth becomes bread for them. Ya Allah. تَكُونُ الْأَرْضُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ خُبْزَةً وَاحِدًا نُزُرًا لِأَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. This will be just an appetizer of Jannah. Imagine the beauty of this. طبعاً, the evil people are starving. The believers having the food. You see how I told you every moment there's a beautiful sign. Hunger, check. Allahumma lak alhamd. Number two, what do we say about people's clothing situation? People have no clothing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first to ever be clothed is Prophet Ibrahim. أول الخلائق يكسى Ibrahim alayhi salam. But why do you think Ibrahim will be the first one to wear clothing? What do you think? Why is he the first one, Allah, to give him clothing? What's your take on that? Ulama, they tried to take a few shots at this and explain. What do you guys think? This side. Huh? What do you guys think? Go ahead, try. What is it? Oh, fantastic, because he takes care of the children that died at a young age. Excellent. Huh? Anyone else? Anyone else, Shabab? Anyone else? Oh, try. Because he's a prophet. Good. Hasanti. Last one. Oh, mashallah, tabarakallah. May Allah protect you, Ya Rabbi. So, some said because Ibrahim alayhi salam was stripped off of his clothes when they threw him into the fire. You know how they threw Ibrahim into the fire to burn him? So they stripped him off of his clothes So Allah honored him to be the first to be clothed in Akhirah. May Allah clothe us, Ya Rabbi Al-Alamin. And subhanAllah, the clothing is a ni'mah from Allah. Allah, clothing, the modesty is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even when Allah told Adam, you will go to Jannah. What did Allah tell him? What's in Jannah? Look what Allah, even look how Allah tells you how amazing Jannah is. إِنَّ لَكَ أَلَّا تَجُوعَ فِيهَا. In Jannah, Ya Adam, Ya Hawa, you will never be what? Hungry. You'll never be hungry. يوم القيامة, we eat the bread. Why else in Jannah, Allah told Adam, وَلَا تَعْرَى. You will not be aryan. You will not be naked. So having clothing is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's clothing. What's the third thing Allah will give Adam? وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَظْمَأُ فِيهَا. And you will never be thirsty. So water is going to come up right now. Right? وَلَا تَطْحَى. Perhaps there's a relationship about the duha aspect and the sun, which we'll talk about shortly, inshallah. Sounds good? But there's a ni'mah to be clothed. So may Allah allow us to appreciate that blessing. Say ameen. Because the devil, you know, we all know the devil wanted Adam to eat from the tree, right? But why did he want Adam to eat from the tree? So Adam can be naked. Brother, I don't see the connection. The shaitan wants Adam to eat from the tree so Adam can be naked. Yes, he knows. Committing that sin will make Adam and Hawa clothless. Then he believes, if I get them to be clothless, then this is one of the fastest ways for sins to start taking place. And these are not my words, look what Allah says. فَوَسْوَسَ لَهُمَا الشَّيْطَانِ. Shaitan started to whisper to Adam and Eve. Why? لِيُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا مَا وُرِيَ عَلَيْهِمَا عَنْهُمَا مِنْ سَوْآتِهِمَا. He wants to whisper to them so he can reveal their bodies. But what was the word Allah said? He wants to reveal what? سَوْآ. Okay, one second. I told you this is a nice gathering here. سَوْآ. Now the private parts, what is it in Arabic? It's not سَوْآ, it rhymes with it. عَوْرَة. It's عَوْرَة. Right? Heard that before? عَوْرَة. But Allah does not say عَوْرَة. Allah says سَوْآ. Sawa sounds similar to what word? Sawa su sayyat. So you say my private parts are sayyat? No, relax. But there's a relationship. Is that once you show your sawa, you're very high risk of sayyat. The more you reveal your body, the higher the chances you'll commit sins. That's Quran, that's Allah's words, we respect that 100%. Right? Higher risk. Doesn't mean those are covered, are sinless. No, we gotta relax as well, right? But we have to appreciate the risk Allah is telling us. يُبْدِيَ لَهُمَا مَا وُرِيَ عَنْهُمَا مِنْ سَوَاتِهِمَا. Now imagine today, people consciously make the decision, I want to show much of my skin. I want to wear the tightest of clothing, right? Even men have to be very careful, subhanAllah. Like khutbatul jum'ah, subhanAllah, a brother praying very lax with the clothing, showing a lot of his back and the awrah. This is unacceptable. And we should do our best to advise one another. So that's something to see how Allah honors the believers with clothing. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen, Allah grant us the best. Say ameen. So we spoke about what? The food. And we spoke about the clothing. Now we're going and going, but we see something very interesting. What is it? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us, now hunger is done, what's number two is done? Clothing. Number three, he says the people are ibili waradat li khams. People will be so thirsty like a camel that did not drink water for 4 days. And the fifth day it's going crazy, and that's how thirsty it is, that people are. So that's how they are. Now in this situation, what happens? The Prophet says every single Prophet will have a water tank. Hawd, a water basin tank. Every prophet. وَإِنَّهُمْ يَتَبَاهَوْنَ. And every prophet, no, Zakariya has one. Musa has one. Muhammad has one. Every prophet has one. The prophet says, the prophets will brag on the day of judgment who attends more. SubhanAllah. On that day, we can brag. In dunya, you cannot brag very much. Because maybe big gatherings will not help us yawm al-qiyamah. Right? Maybe the gathering, maybe a prophet with two followers takes him a lot further than a person that speaks to thousands of people, correct? So, bayam al-qiyamah, you brag, you have the bragging rights. So then he says, the prophet says, I really, really hope, arju, arju, what do you hope, Ya Rasulullah? I have the biggest attendance, Allahu Akbar. May Allah allow us to be of those who attend, say ameen. So then, he explains, ready for the tank of the prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ready? May Allah, bismillah. He says, I'm going to do some math, were you guys tired? He says, the length is as long as the width. So it's what? Square. Then he says, زَوَايَاهُ سَوَا. The corners are equal. 90 degrees. Then he says, it takes about 1 month to travel one side. مَسِيرَةَ شَهْرٍ. So it takes about 1 month to travel to walk around some of the tank. SubhanAllah. He says, مَاؤُهُ أَبْيَضْ مِنَ اللَّبَنِ. The drink is whiter than milk. The taste, sweeter than honey. The smell, more beautiful than musk. The temperature, colder than ice. Allahu Akbar. Yeah, it's cool. It's exciting. Allah, mashallah, tabarakallah. May Allah make us as excited as him. Right? SubhanAllah. Even we don't even drink cold water. We know this is good stuff, right? Then how are we going to drink? Don't rush. People are like, oh, we're running, right? تُرَى فِيهَا أَبَارِيقُ الذَّهَبُ الْفِضَّةِ In it are jugs or cups or mugs of gold and silver. People who gave it up in the dunya, because in dunya you cannot have, you're not allowed. The Prophet told us, he commanded us, forbade us, do not drink of utensils out of gold and silver. ممنوع, haram. Okay? So here we get mugs and kada, gold and silver. Reward. How many cups and mugs? كَعَدَدِ نُجُومِ السَّمَاءِ The number of the stars. Ya Allah, may Allah make us drink from it. See, I mean. Now this water, where is it coming from? Rivers coming from Jannah. Allahu Akbar, Uber Eats, huh? From Jannah. Okay? Jannah Eats. And one of the sources is Al-Kawthar. Yeah, then Allah, Rasulullah s.a.w. says, يَغُتُّ فِيهَا مِيزَابًا So two pipes pour into the basin on the water. One is from gold, ذهب, والآخر من ورق. ورق, by the way, means what? ورق. Well, not ورق, ورق. Silver. Keep that in mind when you go maybe through a zakah workshop or something like that. طيب, what happens when you drink it? The Prophet says, the more you drink from that water, you will never in your life be thirsty. Allahu Akbar. Ya Allah, are you ready to drink? Ya Allah, bismillah. Allah, you're about to jump in and swim. I feel you, right? One second. There's a guy on a podium, fi minbar. There's a podium by the water tank. Okay? There's someone standing, looking for people. And he's actually talking. Ala halum, come over. He can actually have eye contact with you. Literally, eye contact with you, sister, you, brother. Come over. You come. He's so excited. Who's that man? This will be the first time you see this man. You've never seen him before. He looks you in the eye. He says, come. Who's that man? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That will be the first time you see him, inshallah. How beautiful. Ta'al, come. He's excited. Let's go. Come. Allahu Akbar. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right before he passed away, he went to a graveyard. And after he finished the visitation of the graveyard, he says, I miss my brothers and sisters. I miss Ikhwani. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, are we not your brothers? He said, you are ashabi, you're my companions. As for my brothers and sisters, they're the ones that come after me. They believe in me, though they've never seen me. May Allah make us of them, Ya Rab. Then he says, I miss them so much. Ya Rasulullah, since they've never seen you, you've never seen them, how will you recognize them? So he says, if there was, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, if there was a horse that has white coloring or white color of flesh in the legs and white on the back of the neck. So everything is black, but this is white and this is white. And you put that horse among 100 or so horses that are completely black. Will you not recognize the one with the white hair? He said, yes. He said, that's how I recognize my people. That is the effects of the wudu. It will glow from their faces and their feet and ankles. Allahu Akbar. So make sure you do wudu. Face, the beginning, right? Of the beginning is the face and the ending is the feet. Do excellence from beginning to end so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can recognize you. Alhamdulillah, you go, maybe a few hugs. Allahu alam, I'm not sure what you will do. Drink first. I don't know, right? May Allah grant us easy, I mean. But I have to say this. Some people, they will come excited. Ya Rasulullah, and the Prophet is excited. Angels come and they stop someone. Not you. And they are very physical. They grab the guy, no, you go back. What do you mean? Even the Prophet says, is he not from my ummah? No, Ya Rasulullah, this guy is different. Did he not ummah Muhammad? He said, Ya Rasulullah, you don't know what they did after he passed away. لا تدري ما أحدث بعدك. No, this guy, no. Ya Rasulullah, they changed your religion. They did so much innovation. They made up stuff in the deen. They made the halal haram, haram halal. They flipped the verses and gave different interpretations from their own whims and desires. Ya Rasulullah, not this man. This man does not deserve it. How painful is that? Because that's the pain and that's the misguidance this person caused the ummah. He thought he's doing a good job. People that follow, they thought he's doing the right thing. So they all go, they thought they're doing well. Guess what? They get stopped. See that feeling? I thought that was right and now you get the consequences. So the Prophet says, suhqan, suhqa, what a shame. Like, did you really have to change stuff? You didn't like what I was doing? Like I remember one brother, may Allah forgive him and guide him, Ya Rab. Sometimes it's pure intention, but that will not save you sometimes. After salah, what do we do? How many subhanAllah after salah? How many times? 33, right? You can do 10. There's two authentic narrations. 10 and 33. I spoke to a brother, lovely brother. He says, no, akhi, I'll do 100. But why 100? He's like, you know what? Rasulullah is better than us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did 33. I'm more in need. Pure intention. Wallahi, 33 is better than 1,000. Wallah. Because that act of worship is associated to after salah. On your own, do 1,000,000. But now you're associating that dhikr to after salah. The Prophet told you 33 in one narration, 10, you want to do 100. Unacceptable. Can you and I, after this session, like, bro, this session was, bro, it hit me in the heart. Allahu Akbar, this session, alhamdulillah, I drove in the snow. My iman is so high, I'm high. Like, spiritually, relax. Right? Like, this session, like, moved me, brother. Man, we prayed Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. I'm going to pray one more. I'm going to call it Barbar Salah. What is that? It's going to be 7 rak'at. You're so spiritually high. This is my ruh salah. What are you doing? Salah is 5. 6 is unacceptable. Unless you're doing sunnah. You see the difference? So be careful and put your intention in check. Brothers and sisters, the water is drank. Alhamdulillah. Thirsty. All of a sudden, something serious happens. All of a sudden, people start to sweat. And people panic. The sun has descended. 1 mile above the heads. And people are sweating. 4 groups. One category, they're sweating so much. The sweat is according to the sins. They sweat all the way up to their ankles. Others are sweating all the way up to their knees. Others are sweating all the way up to their belly button. The sweat, in accordance to the hasayyat and the bad deeds, others are, Allah may Allah protect us, sweating up to here, from the ground up, and they're drowning from their own sweat. Who are these people? How can we be saved? There are no mountains, there are no trees, there's no rocks to hide behind. There's one place you can seek shade in. May Allah make us of them. Who are these people? We gotta talk about them. We gotta talk about the details, inshallah. 7-7, he is right. But we'll see you, inshallah, in February. Bi'idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sounds good, inshallah. So be ready, inshallah. We'll see you in February, bi'idhnillah. If there's any any pizza left over, take over, inshallah. And any shy, enjoy and drive safely. Thank you so much. You guys are awesome. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.